Wireless keyboard subject to keystroke injection hacking. Boeing 737 MAX airplane fix expected by end of this month. And internet service providers or ISPs team up to stop the distribution of the New Zealand mass shooting video. All of this and more here. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Tech. Hello everybody and welcome back to the Cutting Edge Tech episode 7. I'm so glad that you have decided to join me here today. So without too much introduction, let's just get down to the nitty-gritty of the news. So we have a couple of news stories to cover today. So the first one comes courtesy of ZDNet.com, which is that Fujitsu wireless keyboard models are vulnerable to keystroke injection attacks. So first off, the ones that are vulnerable right now are the Fujitsu LX wireless keyboards. Those are the models that are being affected by this keystroke injection attack. But before we go into the details, let's just define what a keystroke injection attack really is. So, it is a type of attack where someone can insert a USB, in this case what they call a rubber ducky. A rubber ducky is a tool that was developed by the group Hack5. And those are available to those who want to go into ethical hacking and other stuff. And the purpose of a keystroke injection is to implement random keystrokes from the keyboard into the computer that's being attacked. For example, I could code a USB rubber ducky. I can put it into a computer, and inside there is a program with certain keystrokes that I have implemented into the code, into the script. And that script runs, and once it runs, it opens up a program. It does whatever I tell the script to do. Open up a program, type something in, or do stuff in the computer, and then close the program without you even knowing what hit you. So, Fujitsu wireless keyboards are susceptible to this. And the reason why is because of a developer blunder. So a developer decided to forget a little bit of a detail. And this German penetration testing firm, and by the way, penetration testing is the term used to get into a system, get inside a system, look for vulnerabilities, and then get back a report so that you can tell your client, hey, these are the vulnerabilities that your system has. You should get these fixed. They usually do that in ethical hacking. So the article says that in a report that was published today, and by today I mean on the March 15th, 2019, a researcher for the company that actually did the testing, called Matthias Dieg, said the vulnerability is not caused by the keyboard and its USB receiver using weak cryptography. In fact, the two components work via a properly secured communications channel. Instead, the flaw resides in the USB receiver alone. Before I continue, those of you who don't know, a wireless keyboard actually needs a receiver in order to actually work. For example, I have a wireless keyboard, I have a wireless mouse, or a wireless keyboard and mouse combo, and they usually come with this small USB that you plug into your computer, and that is the receiver for everything that you do in the keyboard and everything you do in the mouse. If you move the mouse, the receiver gets that information and transplants it into the screen so you can see it. So apparently the flaw resided in the USB receiver itself. And what was that? It continues to say, which besides accepting the keyboard's encrypted communication, also accepts unencrypted data packets that use the format described in a demo design kit that Fujitsu developers appear to have left behind. So the demo design kit that the Fujitsu developers left behind into that USB dongles programming is the culprit. Now, with this, it's very important to know that we all make mistakes. You know, we're not perfect, we're not machines, we're not programmed to do stuff perfectly. That's why we program machines to do it for us. And they, you know, in the development phase, they usually put these kits inside of equipments in order to test their functionalities up to their limits. You know, to say, oh, this can do this, this can do that, oh, we can't do this, we need to block this. You know, it gives the developer some idea into what they want their design to be and what they want their equipments to do. So apparently they left this design kit behind, and now it is susceptible to keystroke injection, much like the rubber ducky. So basically, that USB receiver turns into a rubber ducky if they get inside the designer kit. Furthermore, Deek says that if this keystroke injection attack is also paired with another older Fujitsu wireless keyboard, a threat actor can remotely attack computer systems with an active screen lock and plant malware on seemingly secure systems. So basically, what they're saying is that if you have a secure system, quote unquote secure system, and it has an active screen lock, for example, if you close your computer, the computer closes and it completely blocks access to it unless you put your password again. So basically, what it's saying here is that someone who is the hacker can remotely attack a computer system if you pair it with an older Fujitsu wireless keyboard. And just so you know, this, or so I've known so far, is kind of weird. In order to do it, you would have to get into the programming of the dongle, the USB receiver, in order to actually allow it to pair with other types of keyboards. Because, to my knowledge, you cannot pair an older Fujitsu keyboard or any keyboard in general, not just Fujitsu. You can't pair a keyboard that is an older model to the USB receiver. Usually, you have to configure both the receiver, the keyboard, and the mouse, or the mouse and keyboard combo to work only with that receiver, to a singular receiver. You're supposed to program it that way. But you can get inside the programming and allow it to, code it and allow it to actually be able to be paired with an older model of the equipment that you're actually using. But here's another thing. That's not the only time it has happened to Fujitsu. So Fujitsu in 2016, according to the same German firm, they reported this flaw in October of last year, and they haven't heard back from the company since October 30. So this is something that has been there for quite some time, and Fujitsu hasn't even patched the vulnerability that was there in 2016. They had another vulnerability that this same firm told them about, and they didn't even patch that. And if they didn't patch that, what makes you think they're going to patch this one? So, and also continue saying in the article that that is not a priority for them. So what the firm has told the public to do, and the article, and the page, the website of the article, they've told their listeners and their readers not to use those keyboards in very secure areas. For example, if you're in a work and you have a lot of security issues, like it has a really high security level, don't use those keyboards. Otherwise, you're putting the security at risk, which is a good thing. It's a good thing that they're actually saying that to prevent the public from going out there and getting vulnerable in their workplaces. Because usually, let's be honest, most people, like I've seen in my work, that most people get wireless keyboards because of the comfort that they have, the amount of movement space that they have. They're not held in place due to a cable, because usually wired cables, like wired mouses, wired keyboards, they tend to restrict the amount of space that you have. So in a wireless scenario, you don't have any cables to worry about. And that is, I'm gonna be honest, that's pretty comfortable, because I can move my keyboard, I can put it on my lap and be more comfortable. I can put it wherever I want and be more comfortable. And that's a plus, I'm all for it. But if you're gonna have a keyboard that is this insecure, I would much rather look for other wireless keyboard combos, and preferably like wireless keyboards and mouse combos, that bring both of them at the same time. At least that's what I would do. I would stay away from very insecure keyboards or keyboard mouse combos or mouses even. So there's a little bit of note for you. I would probably, in my case, I would probably get a Logitech, because Logitech equipment is pretty good. Not a sponsor. Just pointing it out there. They're not a sponsor, although I wish. But hey, anyways, hey, one can dream. Well, anyways, we'll be right back with some more here on the Cutting Edge Tech. Don't go anywhere, guys. And we are back here at the Cutting Edge Tech. Thank you for joining me. And for those of you who might be into the news and might have some knowledge about this, there was a recent crash from the Ethiopian Airlines involving a 737 MAX airplane, a Boeing 737 MAX. Due to this crash, many of the Boeing 737 MAX owned by different airlines have been grounded. They're not allowed to fly due to this. And the exact reason as to why this airplane crashed has not yet been totally confirmed, but they do have their suspicions. And Boeing has told airlines that it expects to have new software for its 737 MAX plane ready by the end of the month, meaning March. This is an article from BBC News, and it continues to say that the plane has been grounded following the Ethiopian Airlines aircraft crash earlier this month. Documents seen by the BBC confirm that the software update will limit the operation of the controversial MCAS system, which stands for Max Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System. So, this MCAS system, basically what it means is that this system is designed and implemented into the Boeing 737 MAX in order to stabilize it when, according to an article that I found here that describes the MCAS system. It basically, the whole context of it is that it basically controls the amount of upward motion that the aircraft can have, because this aircraft was designed in a way that at some points it would move upwards due to the air current. Like its nose would pop up due to the air current. So Boeing quietly installed this, according to this article that I found in here. It automatically adjusts the airplane so that it continues and stabilizes into a horizontal pattern. And it's supposed to activate it without the pilot even knowing about it. It's supposed to like stabilize the plane on itself. And that is where the problem rises, because the pilots do not have absolute control over this unless, of course, they manually override it, but they activate it without their consent. So basically, they can activate at any moment. They would be flying normally, and all of a sudden, boop, it would activate itself, and it would lower the plane's nose towards, towards a more level playing field, a more level way of traveling. But here's the thing. It happened on this aircraft, and it caused to go in a nosedive, basically forcing the airplane to go towards the ground. And it's not only happened on this Boeing 737 MAX, it also happened on a Lion Air 737 MAX, which crashed off the coast of Indonesia last year. So this program has been causing some problems to the Boeing 737 MAX that have this system implemented into them. According to the article that I found explaining the MCAS, it actually cost the Lion Air 610, which an investigation showed that it actually that this system, the automatic anti-stalling system, the MCAS, repeatedly forced the plane's nose down more than 20 times. So this system has a lot of bugs, and this bug has caused major, major losses of life. Boeing, what are you doing? You should have fixed this by the first accident. And in fact, you should have tested this out before you even got it into one of your planes. You should have gone into a virtual machine and actually, configured this to work properly, not to activate and force the plane to actually try nosedive every 10 seconds. Come on. It already caused a crash with the Lion Air 610, with the other one was the Lion Air 737 MAX, and now with this Boeing 737 MAX from Ethiopian Airlines. And the investigations that are coming up are showing clear similarities. According to the article, they're showing clear similarities between the two. Because it said that both the Ethiopian Airlines flight 8 days ago and the Lion Air aircraft in October crashed within minutes of takeoff, both of them. So, Boeing, what are you going to do about this? They say that they're going to have a patch by the end of the month, and they're going to have a report by mid-April. So Boeing, you best hurry up with this update on this system. And honestly, if you're going to use the system, at least give the pilot control over it. You know, let the pilot activate it on its own. Don't force this program to activate all of random, because this is what happens when you allow a program to randomly activate at will. And I understand that you did this to actually, you know, allow the plane to put some stability in itself and have the ability to actually maneuver itself to a much more level flight. But if it means causing the plane to at any instant going on a nosedive and causing these types of accidents, I would suggest at least one of two things. Either one, allow the pilot to actually have control over this system, or two, fix the issues on this system, but still implement a way for the pilot to have control over the system. Like, both of them involve having the pilot control the system. This is what happens when you allow machines to control themselves. Machines are stupid. Like, I'm sorry for the term, but machines are dumb unless you actually program them to be smart. And I get it that you were trying to actually help the pilot in terms of navigating and in terms of actually getting the plane on level field, but if it means costing people their lives, you should probably rethink 10 times about a system that actually puts people's lives in danger. So Boeing, get your stuff together and make sure that you get this program out as soon as possible, because even though it's only on the 737 MAX, I do not want to see this installed in any other planes. And make sure you get this system under control, because this system has already cost thousands of lives, and it's if it continues unchecked, it's probably going to cause a lot more. So Boeing, make sure to actually get this stuff out the door by the end of this month. Otherwise, you're going to have problems on, first of all, on your sales. Second of all, your reputation is going to go to the floor. And that's not good for any company. That spells disaster for any company. So make sure to get this out of the door by the end of the month, like you say, and make sure to do it right. So anyways, we'll stop with that one. We have some more here on the Cutting Edge Tech, so don't go anywhere, guys. We're back here at the Cutting Edge Tech. Thank you for joining me. Now, for those of you who have been watching news and social media, you should know that there was an attack in Christchurch in New Zealand to a mosque. A shooter, a white supremacist shooter, decided to go to a mosque in the middle of them praying and just shoot them up and kill them. Just like that, because he felt like it. He just went up and he shot praying innocent people who came together to pray. He just went in there and shot them. It's a disgusting display of what the darker side of humanity can get. It's a very abhorrent and completely disgusting manner that this guy actually behaved in this and decided to just go over there and shoot them. Like, what kind of mindsets people have to actually go up, grab a gun and shoot people? Like, what type of, how bad in the head do you have to be? But that's not the topic that I'm going to talk about today. It involves this, and obviously my thoughts and prayers go to the families of those affected, to the victims that survived the attack, and those that are, you know, praying for the family, praying for the loved ones and the victims that actually survived the attack. My thoughts and prayers go to you guys. I hope there's retribution for what happened. And in the light of these events, many social media outlets like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all the like have started to block the video from getting viral, because the shooter had a video, like a helmet video on a GoPro or something, like a headset camera, like a helmet cam. That's the term, a helmet cam. He had a helmet cam and he filmed the entire thing, which is just completely, like, why? why would you do this? And even in his manifesto, as he released a manifesto, even in his manifesto, he said that he did this to create divide in the Western world. I'm not going to go into detail in the manifesto. Haven't read the manifesto. I've only heard excerpts from it, and I don't want to go into the details of that. But what I'm going to talk about in this piece of news is internet providers. The internet providers, along with the social media, which haven't done a good job at stopping this video from going public. They have deleted multiple copies of this video from the internet, but there's still a lot more, and people keep sharing this a lot more. And to be fair, they have done their best to actually prevent this video from going viral, but unfortunately, it's not enough. Now, ISPs or internet service providers are stepping in and they're saying, we're gonna block websites that divulge or that present this type of video, like this video. Those sites that actually show this video will be blocked by our services. And that's pretty good. That's actually really good on their part because it puts a stop to what the killer actually wanted, which was attention to what he was doing. So good job, internet service providers, for doing this. I applaud you immensely. This piece of article comes from Mashable.com, and it says, it's been a struggle for internet companies to contain a live stream video of the Christchurch terror attack. In light of this, internet service providers are teaming up to block sites which refuse to take down the video, echoing calls by police and government for people to stop sharing it. A Vodafone New Zealand spokesperson said it was working alongside other large internet service providers in the country, such as Spark, 2degrees, and Vocus, to identify and block access to sites distributing the video. So these are mainly New Zealand internet service providers that are doing this. And take note, people. ISPs, take note. You should do this all the time, not only for these types of shooting, but just shootings in general or acts of violence in general. You know, this is behavior that shouldn't be posted online. Yet people have this sick, twisted manner of going into violence and sharing this. And this has to stop. You can't do this. You cannot continue this cycle because that's what the aggressors want. They want the attention. That's what terrorists that film their executions or their acts of terrorism, that's what they want. They want the attention of the public. They want to create political divide and divide between people, because most of this translates into politics. Unfortunately, it translates into politics. It goes much farther than just the simple act. They're doing it for a purpose to create divide between us. And we shouldn't allow this. We should stop this act. We should stop the violence as soon as it gets the chance, as soon as we get the chance to do so. Because we cannot allow this type of behavior to win over us. We cannot allow this. We just simply can't. So we have to stop it before it spreads. So good job on the internet service providers to actually do this type of work to identify sites that won't take down the video. And just, okay, you're not gonna take it down, we're gonna block you. Nobody's gonna using our services I'm sorry, nobody using our services will have access to those sites. So you're not gonna take it down, no problem. You're not gonna be seen by our users. So that's a really good tactic, and those ISPs that are in here over here in the United States, make sure to do that. You should take note about what New Zealand is doing and take note about this, because this is something that will help prevent future divulgence of violence, future spreading of viral videos that are violent, which is something that must be done before they actually get into what should be, you know, the mainstream media, the mainstream social media. We should stop it before they turn viral. Why not share stuff about accomplishments that people do? Something that is positive. Why not do that instead? Like, for example, post something about someone having a successful thing that they did, that they recently did. Something that looks As in, oh, this guy did an achievement despite all the odds against him. That's a very, like an inspirational story. Why not share that instead of violent acts like this? This is something that has always boggled me because you see people sharing all this stuff and sharing violent videos about this, and people actually gravitate towards this and share this all the time. You see videos like in Facebook. I see Facebook mainly because that's the only place where I get to see this type of stuff, which is abhorrent to me. You see these videos that promote violence or that show violent acts, and sure, if you want to like address a type of violence, sure, why not? But why do you have to show a video of said violence? Why not just share it in words? Why not just share it in normal words, like normal written words, not in an actual video? Get your point across by words, not by like actually reflecting or showing the type of violence that you're trying to, completely eradicate, for example, if you're thinking about eradicating this type of violence. Just show your disgrace and like disgust in words. Don't show the actual video itself, because that only makes you part of the problem. Like, people are trying to stop this from going on, and you're sharing it, you're part of the problem. You should just completely, like, okay, if you want to see it on your own, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to stop you watching this, but don't share it. Don't spread it around. Don't allow it to bubble up and get mainstream attention, because that's what the aggressors want, mainstream attention, and we cannot give them this. We cannot give them this, no matter in what platform they do it, whether it's TV, social media, internet, whatever. We cannot allow them to have the mainstream attention that they're seeking to move, to push forward their ideology, or to show the world their twisted sense of ideology. We should think that these social media platforms are actually, fighting against this type of content, that they're actually doing some effort into preventing this type of content from getting out of hand. And I applaud Facebook and all the social medias that have taken their time to actually take down this video, despite the mainstream popularity it's gotten. I know I bashed companies in the past, like Facebook and all that stuff, but at least they're doing this right. So you gotta commend them when they actually do something right, and they're doing something right. They're preventing this from flourishing. So good job, guys, and good job to the ISPs over in New Zealand. So United States ISPs, take note. You should start doing this, because this will actually help with the stopping of the spread of this violent act, this violent and vicious act by this garbage human. So make sure to take note from New Zealand, and good job in the New Zealand ISPs for actually doing this. You're helping to clean up the internet, for places that are just complete garbage. So thank you so much. So this will be all for this episode of the Cutting Edge Tech. I'm sorry that it's a little bit more gloomy than usual. Like, most of the news here were kind of dark, but this is basically all that there was during the week. There were many, many news stories, different news stories about all these incidents. Like, except for the Fujitsu one. The Fujitsu one was an isolated event, but most of the news that I research and I search for in during the week were mostly of the New Zealand shooting and the Ethiopian Airlines crash, and their softwares that they're implementing into the Boeing 737s, and the amount of effort they're putting into deleting and stopping the spread of this viral video of this shooting in the mosque in Christchurch, New Zealand. So, I apologize. Hopefully next week has more cheerful news, and we can get into a more livelier ambient and a more livelier environment and, atmosphere. That's the word I was looking for. So, thank you so much for joining me here on the Cutting Edge Tech. I apologize for the gloomy episode, but I just got to say it. I just got to, get this out there, because what would I be if I didn't share this with you guys, and the efforts that these ISPs and the social media platforms that are doing their best to quell this spread of this violence. So I gotta commend them when they do something right, and I gotta bash them when they do something wrong, because that's how I do it. Like, I call it as I see it. So good job, guys. I hope you continue to do this. So anyways, thank you so much for joining me here on the Cutting Edge Tech. We'll see you here next Wednesday with some more news on the tech world. So thank you for joining me, and as always, keep it techy, my friends. I'll see you guys the next Wednesday. Cutting Edge Tech is a technology news podcast focused on the latest news that occurred during the week between episodes. The opinions expressed in this podcast are strictly from the host and should not be taken as absolute facts. If you'd like to suggest a news article to be discussed in the podcast, send it to me at cutting.edgetechpodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear them. Thank you, and see you in the next episode. And remember, keep it techie, my friends.